Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. This is Manoj, the moderator for your conference call today. Welcome to the conference call of Cadila Healthcare Limited. We have with us today Mr. Pankaj Patel, Chairman and Managing Director from Cadila Healthcare Limited. At this moment, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star and one. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Pankaj Patel. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening and welcome to our post-results teleconference. I have with me Mr. Ganesh Nayak, Executive Director of the company. We have Mr. Nitin Parekh, the CFO, and Mr. Vishal Gaur, responsible for our investor relationship. The year gone by has been an important one for our company, in which we took several initiatives and achieved new heights, which set the ball rolling for our next milestone of turnover of $1 billion for the current financial year, that is 2010-11. Our continuous endeavor to improve our efficiencies and to deliver our commitments in any situation has paid off well, and the performance of 2009-10 is clearly evidence of the same. So first let me take you and recap you the highlights and the initiatives and the achievements for the year 2009-10. On the Indian formulation front, to strengthen our position in the fast-growing cardiovascular segment, we expanded our workforce by almost 300 people in this segment during the last quarter and launched a new division called Cardiva, which will aggressively penetrate into urban market with its range of anti-hypertensive formulations. We have also focused promotion efforts on the specific therapy areas, and the products have been divided between existing Medica division and new Cardiva division. To consolidate our position in the respiratory segment, we have expanded our coverage by adding another additional 100 people to exploit the potential of anti-asthma inhalation therapy in the mass market with physician focus. During the year, we launched 30 new products and a similar number of line extensions in the formulation market, out of which 17 were for the first time in India. The prominent launches among them was Cintapro OD, a sinetapurate hydrogen tartrate ER tablet for gastrointestinal disease, etoposic MR for containing etoprolol and triprazosine for pain management, Fluticon FT, the fluticasone nasal spray in the respiratory segment, Indigen, the telmisartan formulations for cardiovascular, Evoral, ivermectin plus albendazole tablet for anti-infective segment, and Oxalgin Nanogel, Diclofenac plus methyl salicylate and menthol gel containing the new technology, which is nano-emergent technology. Overall, the formulation business posted a sale of 14,458 million rupees. Year on year, it was up by 12%. Coming to our global formulations, in US we successfully completed our fifth year of commercial operation, posted another year of robust all-around performance. With continuous endeavor to meet the needs of customers across the all trade classes, we have achieved a preferred supplier status for many of our customers. We posted a sale of 6,715 million rupees and in the US, which was up 69% year on year, with launch of 6 new products last year. 12 out of our 29 products launched in the US have so far achieved over 20% market share, and we are among the top 20 generic companies in the USA now. In the Europe, our French operation continued strong performance. We launched 14 new products, and including 8 day one launch. This helped us to strengthen our position in the market place, and we increased our market share to 2.65% in the participative generic market and improve our ranking to number 10 in the generic companies. In Spain, we continued our thrust on new products and finding more dossiers for launch in future. Overall, we posted a sale of 2,740 million in Europe, up by 31% year on year. We further strengthen our position in the 13 billion Brazilian branded market with launch of 6 new products in the neuropsychiatric segment. With healthy growth of generic business also, we overall posted a good sale of 1,818 million, 12% up year on year. Continuing our initiative to build presence in Japan, the world's second largest pharmaceutical market, with promising potential for generic players, we launched 4 in-licensed products in a strategy to move enter into the hospital market. We acquired one brand for named Aldomet for the anti-hypertensive drug. During the year, the Japanese operation posted a sale of 316 million, 44% up year on year. We acquired remaining stake of 30% in Himalaya Pharmaceuticals from the co-promoters, and with this, Himalaya is a 100% subsidiary of our company. We aim to consolidate our position in the key market of South Africa with this in a meaningful way. We maintain our strong leadership position in Sri Lanka, Myanmar, Uganda, Sudan, and we became the only company to be successfully start operation in Taiwan. Among the other business, Zydus Wellness Limited posted a strong results with all-around performance from all the three pillar brands, Sugar Free, Everlite and Neutralite, registered a sale of 2,675 million rupees, up 37%, and net profits were up to 453 million, up 90%. Significantly, we pulled the pull effect generated through focus, promotion, and advertisement helped us in achieving this performance. We launched men's range and exclusive skincare range for men under Everlite banner. On the API export front, other than the Nicomel JV, we continue to grow on the back of clopidogrel bestseller sales in the key European customers, and posted a growth of 28%. The new chemical plan for clopidogrel was commissioned at our facility in Baroda within a short span of 8 months. Zyfine, our fine chemical division, received the US FDA approval for its manufacturing facility at Ahmedabad, becoming the only contract manufacturing organization offering services in the area of high potency active areas in India, which has US FDA approval. Zydus Hospira JV commenced commercial production in May 09, and with supply of 3 oncological injectable products to commercial and 1 validation lot. For European market, we posted a sale of 1,678 million rupees, 50% of which is our share. US FDA inspection of our oncology digital facility at Zydus Hospira was successfully completed during the year. On the manufacturing side, during the year, our tablet facility and lyophilization facility of Moraiya plant was successfully completed AFSAS and EU GMP audit successfully, without any major points. To meet the increasing demand across the market and ensure full and timely availability of products, and we have undertaken capacity upgradation, enhancement and balancing of our several facilities during the year. Various streamlining initiatives were also taken to undertake during the year to ensure that maximum productivity and better utilization of facility is taken place. We have developed in-house and implemented a unique track and trace system. We call it ZEE, Zydus End-to-End Tracking System, for all packing lines for the US market, which basically gives us the opportunity to basically have a track and trace system available on our product now onwards in US market. Our continuous efforts on bringing down operation efficiency have been appreciated by 2 awards, which one was the Kaizen Institute Award for achieving the best result in OE, and the second is the Best in Class Manufacturing Award from the Star of Industry Awards. We also filed our 7th IND of Zyfy-D1, a novel GLP-1 agonist molecule with DCGI as well as with US FDA. It's a novel candidate in the class of anti-diabetic agents known as incretin mimetics, and has displayed a better efficacy and safety profile compared to currently available drug in preclinical studies. Our phase 3 study, clinical trial for Dalva-H1, our lead compound for dyslipidemia, has been initiated. We also continued our Dalva-O1, our novel drug candidate for treating obesity, and Mr. and led by S7, our Novartis candidate for treating dyslipidemia in the phase 1 study this year. Within 1 year of initiation of our research effort collaboration with Carabio, Sweden, we have generated a series of novel dissociated non-steroidal glucocorticoids against lead compounds. We initiated development of NDDS based on nanotechnology and developed a nano-glue technology platform for topical applications. We also developed in-house technology for high-quality vaccine for the H1N1 viruses. And we became the first Indian pharma company to get DCGI involved to start clinical studies for the H1N1. We also set up a new vaccine technology center near Ahmedabad, which will focus on developing vaccines for diseases by several viruses and bacteria. We commissioned a new dedicated state-of-the-art manufacturing facility for manufacturing biologicals, recombinant therapeutic protein near Ahmedabad to catch the promising opportunity of biosimilars in time to come. We set up a new API R&D hub at Sabasa near Baroda, which will focus on developing processes for regulated and non-regulated markets. We have 10 research last year with almost 100 scientists working there. We filed 14 more ANDAs with US FDA, taking total 206 ANDAs, and we also filed 14 drug master files with US FDA, cumulative filing now getting to 19. We received 12 more ANDA approvals from US FDA, taking our total approval to 54 products. 29 of them have been already launched. We filed 35 additional new product dossiers with EU in the EU market, including 22 in the Spanish market, taking the total number of cumulative filing to 89, and cumulative number of site transfer now for EU stands at 50. We filed 14 additional dossiers for the Brazilian market, taking total cumulative number of dossiers filing to 59. We filed 8 additional dossiers for South African market, taking cumulative number of dossiers filing in South Africa to 67. Now let me take you through the broad financial numbers. During the year 2009-10, on consolidated basis, total income from operation was up by 26% year-on-year to 36.9 billion rupees from 29.3 billion rupees last year. EBIT was up 34% year-on-year to 8,087 million rupees from 6,058 million rupees last year. The EBIT margin was up by 1.2% to 21.2% from 20.7% last year. The operating profit before tax, excluding non-operating income, exceptional items, exchange rate fluctuations on foreign loans, was up by 50% year-on-year to 5,939 million rupees from 3,962 million rupees last year. Net profit was after tax was up by 67% year-on-year to 5,051 million rupees from 3,031 million rupees last year, and in line with EPS also was up by 67% to 37.01 rupees from 22.2 rupees last year. Return on average capital employed increased from 21.1% vis-à-vis 17.8% last year, while return on average net worth increased from to 35.9% from 28.4% last year. Thank you, and we will now start the Q&A session. Over to the coordinator for Q&A.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and 1 on your push button phone and await your turn to ask the question when guided by the facilitator. If your question has been answered before your turn and you wish to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing the hash key. Our first question comes from Parijat from Goldman. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. The name is Balaji Prasad. Pankaj Bhai, congratulations on the quarter. Just wanted to ask one specific question about the Zydus Nipmed JV. In 2009 and 2010, this has been able to withstand the effect of the loss of the pantoprazole patent when both Teva and Sun launched at risk. I wanted to get your thoughts on the outlook for this JV now in the context of the latest jury verdict on the litigation on pantoprazole and where the patent has been upheld by the jury. So what kind of outlook or impact could this have on this particular JV, Pankaj Bhai?
Well, as far as the verdict is concerned, it's very recent phenomena. We currently have no clear visibility on exactly what is going to happen. We believe that our current volumes should be at least protected. We might get higher volume benefit, but it all depends upon how things move forward. Our JV also has set up, meanwhile, the API manufacturing facility, which is likely to be commissioned during the next quarter.
Mm-hmm.
We expect that next financial year, apart from the pentobarbital intermediate, we will also be producing about 14 APIs out of this plant. Our early estimates, we expect that we would be able to get for the current financial year approximately additional business of rupees 50 crore as a company, and that has benefit to the extent of 25 crore. We expect the commercial production in the API facility to start somewhere end of the next quarter.
Okay.
And then going forward with that would basically be also increasing the volumes in the JV.
Okay. Thank you, Pankaj Bhai. That's very helpful. If I understood you right, you said that the 14 APIs which will be started from next to would add around 25 crores totally this year for FY11.
Yeah, for that will be 50% of our share is 25 crores. That's what we expect for the next 6 months. It will be operated for 6 months, but you know, there will be a lot of initial beginning. So that we expect for the first 6 months, we will get about 50 crores in additional sales, and 25 crores will be the added share there.
Okay, wonderful. Second question is on Flomax. Congratulations again on the approval. Now, I understand that you launched this in the U.S. this week. Could you please provide some light on your strategy for this product, and considering that there are other generics competing for the same market, and maybe on a conservative estimate, what could be a reasonable market share that you could end up with?
See, what happens in the U.S., you know, you know, when you launch on day one, you acquire certain customers, and based on that,
mm-hmm.
you can forecast a kind of a market share for the product. So we expect, based on whatever customer we have acquired as of today, we already have about 25% market share.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, and everybody launched on the day one, so whoever got approval launched on day one. And based on that, we have a 25% market share now.
Okay. How many generic competitors are this for this product?
I think 4 or 5, I don't have the exact number.
Okay, thank you. Lastly, one question at a broader level. Your domestic revenue over the last 4 or 5 years has grown from 10% to 11%. Would this be the kind of sustainable growth rate, or is there any scope for this growth rate to improve further?
Yeah, actually what happened is, you know, if you remember last year, our growth was below 10%. We have come to 12% now. We expect that the next year we should be in the vicinity of 15%.
Okay.
So, you know, in domestic market, you can't just change the picture overnight. But I think we see that we are on the right track. We will see a kind of 15% growth on domestic market for the next financial year.
Okay. Thank you very much. Good luck for FI11.
Thank you.
Thank you for your question, sir. Our next question comes from Mr. Alok Dalal from MS Global. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, thank you for taking my questions. Pankaj, just one question on domestic formulations. We've seen a growth of 8.5% this quarter. Any particular reason for this low growth, or is it a seasonal effect that we have in Q4?
Yeah, I mean, this, it's typically a quarter syndrome, I would say, for the region, but we actually restructured our cardiology business during the quarter, so there were a lot of disruption. So we had actually, you know, a kind of a degrowth for the quarter for that business because of, you know, we were shifting people, we were shifting products and things like that. So there was a kind of a, some effect happened because of that, and also there was an effect on some 5 states where the wet changes happened. As a result, there was less stocking up by any stockists in Karnataka, Maharashtra, Himachal Pradesh, J&K and Uttarakhand. So, a couple of these effectors have affected, so, but we are very confident that the next year 15% growth is definitely going to happen as far as the domestic market is concerned.
Okay. And sir, second question with respect to Hospira's U.S., the inspection that has been done now. So when do you expect sales to be done in U.S. From Hospira?
Well, it all depends on the current patent things going on in U.S. with respect to observability and other products.
Okay.
So we expect sales to be clear. We will be clear about that once the patent scenario becomes clear. But we definitely have good forecast for the next financial year from Hospira.
Okay, but U.S. From Hospira JV, you expect one or two product launches this year? Or
we expect one or two in this year, yes.
One or two products?
Yeah.
Okay. And one final question, how many products are you planning to launch in U.S. from on the formulation front, that is on your own?
In the U.S., the next financial year, we would expect about 10 product launches.
About 10 product launches. Okay. And you have approval for how many of those?
We have approval for 54.
Yeah. No, out of the 10 plant, how many have been approved?
I don't have the number in front of me, so sorry, I won't be able to answer, but I think I will request Vishal to provide you that information.
Yeah, no problem. And one last thing, what is the CAPEX for
FY11? FY11, we expect a CAPEX of about 300 crore rupees.
300 crore. This is about the normal 200, 220 crore kind of CAPEX.
Yeah.
Okay, so where is
you know, we are gearing up to increase certain capacities and building some newer facilities for some dosage forms.
Okay.
So that's why we need to basically invest additional money. So we basically have tied, picked up a 300 crore target for the CAPEX for this next financial year.
Okay, thank you and all the best.
Thank you for your question, Mr. Aloof. Our next question comes from Mr. Karthik Mehta from Jaiwa Capital Market. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. If you could please throw some light on how you would be expanding the field force from here on in the domestic business to actually reach the proposed 15% the growth rate from here, and also explain as to why would the growth rate be only 12% when the broad industry has been in the range of about 12-14%, and we also see your company doing well as per the IMS numbers. So if you could actually also help me with that, thanks.
Okay, so I think first answering your questions, we are adding about 600 people in the field. We have added actually 600 people as of beginning of this year. So 600 additional field force will be added as of now, and that will be across the different businesses. Second is we have divided our domestic businesses into four business units now, and we have created a new business unit which is basically focuses only on specialty products, which is basically focusing on cardiovascular and neurology. The second point which you raised about you know, the IMS number and our number, we are reporting what essentially is our primary sale. IMS reports secondary sale. So that could be always a difference. So, but we are only reporting what we primary we have sold to our copies.
No, so
that is also some difference. But
yes, sir, that is the point that the secondary sales seem to be actually higher than your numbers. So is it that we have reduced?
That's why we will be able to achieve 15% next year.
Should we assume that there has been some also inventory reduction in this quarter by us in the channel?
Yeah, actually we don't have the exact data available.
Okay.
It's fair to assume based on the data that there will be a reduction in the inventory at marketplace, and we should benefit of that in this quarter. And going forward.
Okay, and what would be the MR strength now, and what do you expect roughly by the end of the year?
Total the field stock now, we have currently had about 4,000, end of the year it will remain the same.
Okay, and sir, in the case of the Latin American business also, what is your thought for FY 2011-12, especially in the fact that we have launched some of the products in Brazil? How much growth do you expect, and what is the expected range of market share?
Next year we expect 25% growth in Brazil. Actually the product which for which we had issue with the approval process, we have recently got clearance for one of the products and which is also launched, so that would also help. So basically we are looking at 25% growth as far as next year is concerned.
And sir, lastly, before I actually join the queue, what is your strategy in terms of H1N1? If you could share something on pricing, commercial sales, sales in countries across India where you would be able to launch without any delay.
Sorry, I will only talk about this once I have an approval in hand. We expect that to happen very soon. Once that is there, we will be able to disclose our strategy.
Okay, but are you open to selling countries across across Asia, or would that require some addition of capacity? How does it work for you, sir?
Across, we are going to be open to sell across different markets. So at this moment, we have capacity to produce about 8 million doses, and based on the market response, we will expand this facility capacity.
Okay, sir, on this, do you buy the argument that you would not be able to sell it in the same way as it would have been anticipated, because most experts seem to actually look at it as an unreal opportunity actually being created, and with the temperatures so high now, you would not have as large market as you would have thought when you had actually entered this?
The fact remains that, you know, now in summer you don't see the H1N1. In summer you won't see a flu. That is understandable and there. But as per the prediction, which is the CDC and WHO's prediction, says that H1N1 will be reappearing next winter again. So we expect that this there will be market. We are also basically in the process of developing the multivalent vaccine, which will contain the classical flu strain plus the H1N1 together. So it could be a one-shot flu vaccine, which would be the future for the flu vaccine. So we basically are in this market, and we will develop this market.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your question, Mr. Karthik. Our next question comes from Mr. Nimesh from MP Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks for taking my question and congrats for a good set of numbers. Can you throw some light on the clopidogrel opportunity that you have hit upon in the European market? I understand there was some shortage, and which is why this becomes a lucrative opportunity. How long can this be, and what is the kind of sales ballpark you are generating?
Currently, when the clopidogrel became generic into Europe, that was basically based on a salt. We had developed this new salt of clopidogrel, which is called clopidogrel mesylate, and we have basically been supplying to most of the formulators in Europe except two. So we have almost most of the market, and currently we are the sole supplier of clopidogrel mesylate to all these customers. There was another supplier which has faced problem with the regulators in Europe, and as a result, his API plant has been discontinued for supply into European market. So we are currently the only supplier, and we expect for the next year also maintaining the monopoly as far as this supply position is concerned.
Thank you. This the other supplier who has faced problem is only for the Spanish market or for the entire European market?
Entire European market.
So far, Cadila is only supplied in the Spanish market.
No, no, we are supplying to all, everywhere, all the European markets. All the European formulators are buying our API.
Okay. Can you give us some ballpark number of what kind of quantum of sales you are generating from that product in that region?
We are expecting something like close to about 40 to 45 tons API to be sold in this market.
Okay. Fine. My next question is related to the rabies vaccine that we have developed, and what is the status in the WHO, and are we likely to expect any orders, for that?
No, I think there are two different questions. You have to ask two questions actually in one question. First is, we have our first generation rabies vaccine, which is WHO pre-approved, and which we are already started exporting into few markets.
Right.
It is not still significant exports, but the exports are picking up. The second point is that we have developed our next generation rabies vaccine, which is currently undergoing clinical studies, which is just getting over, and we are going to get approval for a new generation vaccine, which will expand our capacity as well as our competitiveness in the marketplace, and it is more and it will have a better efficacy also going forward. So currently we are selling good quantity of rabies vaccine, but going forward we expect that we will further consolidate our market position in India and start exporting into the more markets. So currently we export to about 3 to 4 countries, but more countries are in pipeline.
Okay, fine. Can you also share, your profitability number on Hospira and also sales from France, Brazil, South Africa, Spain?
Yeah, Vishal, can you please provide them to
you? Yeah, Hospira, during the financial year 2009-10, it had registered sales of 839 million rupees.
I'm sorry, 839 million rupees sales, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And profit of 252 million rupees.
252 million?
Yes.
Okay.
And you asked
what would be the same for Nycomed? I mean, I know the sales, the profitability is what I look for.
465 million rupees. Yeah.
Profitability.
Yeah, that is our share.
Yeah, okay.
And then you asked the question on Brazil sales, right?
No. Geographical breakup of sales, basically. France, Brazil, Africa, Spain.
No, we provide the sales breakup only for US, Europe, that includes Spain and France, which I think you already received from the Latin America, Japan and Indian markets. We don't provide any further breakup now.
Okay. Any color on how the France market is performing after it has seen some kind of reforms there? Is it picking up or is the scenario still not so lucrative?
As far as last year is concerned, we grew in France market at about 31%. And
31%, is it?
And we expect that we would have similar growth in the next financial year.
Okay, fine. Lastly, can you just let us know your debt position and also some color on the tax rate, because it has been phenomenally low this quarter.
Yeah, you wanted, the first question is on your, on the net position.
Yeah, gross debt or net debt, whatever you can give.
Hello?
Yeah. The net debt position?
Yeah, consolidated gross debt was 1,092 rupees.
1,092?
Net debt was 840 rupees. That is net of cash.
I'm sorry, can you come again? I could not hear.
Yeah. Gross debt was 1,090 crore rupees and net debt was 840 crore rupees.
840 crore net debt, okay.
And compared to last year, the debt was reduced by 176 crore rupees. Net debt is estimated 152.
Hello?
Yeah, sorry, 152 crore?
Yeah, the net debt equity ratio has come down from 0.85 last year to 0.52.
Oh, okay, fine, great. And tax rate, any guidance for the next year?
Tax rate would be sub 15% only next year also.
17%?
No, less than 15%.
15%. Okay, fine. Thank you.
Thank you for your question, Mr. Nimesh. Our next question comes from Mr. Bhavin Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you and congrats on a great FY10, sir. Just a few questions. The guidance that you've given about 1 to 2 products in the hospital joint venture, which would be launched in next fiscal, is there a scalability issue that we should keep in mind, or we feel that we're comfortable growing this in the next year?
There are no scalability issue. It's only the regulatory process, maybe regulatory approval process are through, but there are some patent issues in US. Once that is getting resolved, the product will be launched in US market also. So there is no scalability issue otherwise.
Okay, and so how do you play the US market now? I mean, after having reached a great scale, this year would see some next product launches. What do we, get some feelers from you, sir?
Yeah, we'll continue to have some good product launches also for this year, and we also are expecting a very good growth of sales, not exactly like what we grew at same percentage, but a significantly high percentage growth we are expecting next year as well. Our minimum target for the next year is $175 million.
That should be great, sir. Wish you all the best again. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your question, Mr. Bhavin. Our next question comes from Mr. Rahul Sharma from Kavi Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to know what capacity utilization are we operating in the Zydus Hospira venture?
Currently, we operate at about 15% capacity utilization.
Okay. And what type of target you gave, sir? I did not get it. Hospira venture next year?
Sorry?
You gave some 170 million rupees or what was it?
No, we did not give any target for Hospira for the next year. We gave a target of $175 million for our US business.
Okay. And so what type of capacity utilization are you looking at for Hospira next year?
Very difficult to give you a number about capacity, but offline I will try to find out and give you a set number.
Yeah. So another thing was on the ANDAs which we have filed. We have filed Arestol ANDAs and the parental ANDAs. Now, what has been the time span since we have filed it, and when do you feel this can come through for us?
Currently, the FDA's review cycle is about 26 months. So we expect that these approvals will only happen in 26 months from now. So they will file at different times during the year. So you can expect those approvals to be coming in maybe 2012-13.
Okay. And so another thing was on the pulmonary transdermal injectable oncology. Have we, where are we in the timelines of filing, and what is how we placed, and when are the approvals expected?
Injectables we already started filing. Also the nasals we have started filing. This year we will see transdermals and respiratory products being filed. And we expect, as I said before, approvals of those products to be happening around 2012-13 times.
Transdermal you will file this year.
Yeah.
And which other segments, sir?
We will also file the product in the respiratory segment. So inhalers, basically.
Any niche product expected year on year from your portfolio launches every year?
We are currently looking at we are currently developing niche products, and we have filed a couple of them already. More we will tell you once it becomes public information.
So do you expect it to be launched every year? Can you see in a basket around 2 to 3 products coming in from your stable?
Yes.
That's good. Okay, I'll join in the queue, sir.
Thank you for your question, Mr. Rahul. Our next question comes from Mr. Rajesh Vora from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. Congrats on good set of numbers. Pankaj bhai, on the medical field force side, a lot of other companies are also aggressively expanding their field force, Ranbaxy, like Glaxo, and few others as well, just like yours. What are your thoughts in terms of that? Is it going to lead to some kind of over detailing to physicians? Some thoughts on that?
See, typically what happens is that originally the pharmaceutical companies have been focusing on key doctors. So typically companies would have a marketing division of about 300 to 400 reps. And with 300 to 400 reps, you cannot cover more than 120,000 doctors at the max. But given that the doctor population is very large, plus we have not been covering all the markets, this actually increases the reach and you get into the rural markets and the markets where doctors were not covered.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if I have to give you one example, if you take a city like Bombay, typically a pharmaceutical company will operate between 25 to 30 reps earlier time. Companies are now operating in Bombay with 100 reps.
Mm-hmm.
Because the doctors are much more and they were not all covered. So I think the reaching out more to more physicians across India is actually driving this particularly rural market and the interior market. But even cities like Bombay, companies don't cover all doctors and there is a lot of opportunity to really look at this. So extra urban is another area which is becoming very important. For example, you again take Bombay. Bombay, there are a lot of extra urban territories which are just next to Bombay but they are like Bombay. And that also gives you a lot of opportunities.
Sort of new Mumbai type.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And any thoughts on this change in guidelines for promotion to the physicians that has come up, or is it too early to?
Well, it is a good company should actually have been following some of these guidelines which has been come up, and I think it is an important move forward from a, matured pharmaceutical market point of view. And I think long-term companies who have want to have a vision to build a business from a long-term perspective should follow this kind of guidelines, and that would really help them in terms of building a long-term sustainable business.
Okay. And lastly on my last call also you had mentioned, but for the sake of repetition still, is the company pretty much on track to achieve the $1 billion mark in this fiscal year?
Yes, we are very much geared up to be for achieving our healthy billion number.
Excellent.
And I think that we will all be celebrating when we meet next time during the conference call.
Very good. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you for your question, Mr. Rajesh. Our next question comes from Mr. Prashant Nair from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Akshay here. Congrats on a good set of numbers. One question now. Can you just elaborate on your forex hedging policy?
Forex hedging policy.
Yeah, as of now, out of the total gross gain of about 1,090 crore rupees, 50% is denominated in foreign currency. And of which about 27% is hedged to different mechanisms.
Okay.
On the receivable side or on the total trade side, we don't have the, much of the derivatives which are open. Only $10 million worth of receivables have been hedged for one now. And an average rate of about
43.5. Okay. On this $1 billion guidance, what currency rate are you assuming on this?
Well, it is, we are assuming at about 46 rupees a dollar.
Okay, so that's about 25% of the growth in rupee terms.
Yeah.
Okay, and do you expect margins to go up or remain at the same levels?
Our continuous endeavor is there to improve the margin, and we are hoping that the margin also will go up next year.
Okay, but any quantum you have in mind?
Generally, no. Generally, if you see our history, historical chart, if you take it, we improve 1% margin every year.
That's correct.
So, there is no reason for us to believe that we cannot repeat that.
Okay, thanks. Also, on your biosimilar strategy, are you in talks with anybody to tie up for these products, or are you trying to go on your own?
It's too early to talk about these specific discussions, which might be happening or not happening, but because, you know,
okay,
everybody talks about biosimilar, yeah, everybody talks to each other, so it will be like nothing concrete, nothing serious we can talk about at this moment.
Okay, thanks. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for your question, Mr. Akshay. Our next question comes from Mr. Manoj Garg from MK. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening and congratulations for a good set of numbers. Pankaj, you have made an additional investment in Zydus Technology for 50 crore this year. Can you just throw some more light on this?
We put up a, built up a huge facility to manufacture transdermal products.
Okay.
This facility.
Uh-huh.
For the global market. So obviously, this is a high end of technology, so we need to really invest a lot in terms of manufacturing facility and also setting up and also developing and registering the product into different markets.
So, do you need some more incremental investment in this project, or what are
we don't need any further investment. We have major investment now. Only the development oriented investment will be there, which is basically R&D oriented investment.
Okay, fair enough. And the second thing, like, just for you to understand, if you, I see the raw material cost, even on Y-on-Y as well as on quarter-on-quarter basis, it has gone up. Is it because of some change in product mix, or if you can throw some light on that?
Sorry, I couldn't understand your question.
It's regarding raw material cost, which has gone up both Y-on-Y as well as on quarter-on-quarter basis also.
Yeah, in the last quarter, that is quarter four, the proportion of Nicomet JV sales and the domestic formulation sales, both are high margin sales.
Mm-hmm.
Their proportion was less in the overall sales. That is why it is basically a product mix issue.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you should be looking at the year on year overall annual gross margin on material cost.
Okay.
3% gone down on the annual basis.
Okay. And seeing the first 9 months kind of revenue run rate for Hospira, do you see, looking at expanding the capacity at Hospira maybe going forward in next 1 or 2 years?
Sorry, again, what is the capacity?
Yeah, this is regarding Hospira. Seeing the run rate, hello.
You talk about run rate, right?
Yeah, run rate. So I just wanted to understand, do we look forward to even further expand the capacity of Hospira going forward in next 1 or 2 years?
No, because currently, as I mentioned just before, we are only currently using only 15% of the capacity.
15? 1.5? 1.5. Oh, I see. Okay.
So we have capacity available now because we just started, no? So we still have to go a long way.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. That's all from my side. Wish you all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question, Mr. Manoj. Our next question comes from Parizat from Goldman. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Is there Parizat? I'll go for next question. Our next question comes from Mr. Karthik Mehta from Reva Capital Market. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So if I have to understand your foray into vaccines, you would initially incur cost of salesmen, etc. If you look at 3 years down the line, is there a ballpark number would you have that you would have X percent of domestic sales from actually vaccine, and if most of them are not to institutions, should it be fair to assume that there will be a fair scale up in the staff cost because you would be reaching out to various the doctors as well. So if you can throw some 3-year outlook and your thought on how you would approach this business, not in particular only of H1N1, but H1N1, but for all the vaccines put together, because that can actually really drive your margins. Thank you.
See, currently we sell anti-rabies vaccine and anti-typhoid vaccine, which is currently sold by our general field force already in the place. And for the H1N1 vaccine, we have a task force appointed, which is going to be very small in size, and they will be focusing on selling the H1N1 vaccine. As we develop more vaccines, we will be able to give you exact numbers and exact thing what we will do with the vaccine. But today, I am not unable to provide you further information on that.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you for your question, Mr. Karthik. Our next question comes from Mr. Nimesh from MP Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I have a follow-up question. First of all, I missed the point. When is the USFDA approval for the Hospira plant that you are expecting?
It is already approved.
I'm sorry?
The plant has been already inspected and approved.
Okay, so then when is the sales likely to come in? Sorry, it is already there in the
That's
quarter.
What I was trying to mention, that we expect one or two products to be launched in the U.S. this year. However, it all depends on the current patent litigation process going on.
Are you likely to participate in the Eloxatin? I mean, I know it is stopped from June and all, but Hospira, this plant will be supplying to for that opportunity also, right?
We have the product, but we don't know when exactly the sales will start, because currently the situation is not very clear.
Okay. Second, you mentioned about U.S. Generic sales guidance of $175 million. Is that correct? Okay. And third, on the domestic formulation part, what is the kind of doctor coverage that you are expecting to achieve? Or what is the target, through the increased sales force?
Well, we are actually increasing number of teams, so our doctor coverage would still remain to the extent of about 200,000 doctors across India, right, through various teams. Coverage point of view, we are basically going to cover all those important specialty doctors by the initiative which we have taken this time, particularly in the area of cardiovascular area and respiratory, and we want to expand our reach to physicians in the process.
I see. Currently, the doctor coverage is about 120,000 doctors, right?
Yeah, correct. And
this
will go up to
between
1.5
and 2
levels.
150, okay. Okay, thanks. Thanks very much.
Thank you for your question, Mr. Nimesh. Our next question comes from Mr. Rahul Sharma from Kavi Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yes, so this is Nishit Thangvi. So I just want to understand, why has there been a degrowth of 9% in the emerging markets?
Yeah, I think good you noticed that. Actually, in the emerging market, two things happen. One is that we are getting ready for IFRS.
Okay.
Because of IFRS, we want to ensure that, going forward, the IFRS regulations are implemented fully. So this year itself, we have implemented the IFRS regulation with respect to booking of sales is concerned. And the second point is about our key markets, we have moved the product from Moraiya to Goa site. Because Goa, Moraiya, we are releasing capacity for US. As a result, we could not supply some of the orders which were in hand in the month of March, and which is being done in April.
So going forward, we see normal sales, normal growth happening?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, what kind of growth rate, sir, do you see for these markets?
Over 25%.
Okay, sir. Okay, thanks.
Thank you for your question, sir. Our next question comes from Mr. Ritesh Shah from HDFC. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, so just want to check, there's been a reduction in other expenses during the quarter. On the very sharp reduction on the QOQ basis also. Is there any particular reason for that?
Typically you should be looking at the quarter four numbers on these expenses, because what happens is we work out the annual numbers, exact numbers, and then they get audited. So if you see staff cost, there is a QOQ as well as YOY jump, while in other expenses there is a sharp reduction. So this is basically for the last 3 quarters, normally we take the provision. And the actual numbers or the exact numbers are worked out on annual basis. And quarter four is nothing but annual numbers minus the 9 months reported numbers. So annual growth in this kind of expenses would be a right number to look at, rather than quarter four numbers.
Okay, so there's nothing like any exceptionals or any non-recurring components that are already there?
No.
Okay, thanks.
All exceptionals are reported separately.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you for the question. Our next question comes from Mr. Manoj Garg from MK. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question once again. Vishal, do we had any forex gain during the quarter or loss?
Sorry? No, any? We did not have forex gain.
Okay. Only the loss which we had in terms which we recognized on the interest item, 1.11 crore, right?
No, that is the FX loss on foreign currency loans.
Loans only.
Yeah, but on operational side also we had loss which is reported in general expenses.
So how much was that?
For the year it was 32 crore rupees, 317 million rupees to be paid.
For the year?
Yes.
And for quarter?
13 crore rupees.
Okay. Thank you very much. 13 crore, right?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the question, Mr. Manoj. Our next question comes from Mr. Prashant Nair from Citigroup. Please go ahead. Mr. Prashant?
Hello?
Please go ahead.
Can you just tell me why the tax rate is so low for this quarter? I missed this earlier.
Yeah, tax rate for last year, that is 2008-09, on an average was 18%. This year, if you would have observed, up to December only, the tax rate had gone down to 14%, primarily because of the increased volumes in our 16th facility, which is 100% tax exempted. Plus, last year, we had this foreign currency monetary items translation difference account, which was to the tune of 44 crore rupees, which was created because of the revised accounting standard 11. Now, on that 44 crore rupees asset, we had created deferred tax liability. This year, because the appreciation of rupee, the debt account got reduced by about 30 crore rupees, and consequently we had to reverse the deferred tax liability also. So that is the primary reason for reduction in the tax rate, particularly in quarter four.
Okay. This secure facility will lose the EOU benefits from next year, is it?
It is not EOU.
Okay. It's a tax exemption for 10 years, so it will not lose.
Okay, so you expect tax rates to be below 15%?
That's right. So this is a 10-year tax exemption in Sikkim.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you for the question, Mr. Prashant. Participants, if you have any further questions, please press star and 1 on your push button phone. Our next question comes from Sarajit from Angel Securities. Please go ahead.
This is Sushant. I just missed on the hedging policy of your company.
Currently, we only have hedged part of the loan, and receivables except $10 million we have not hedged. We are just reviewing the scenario in terms of what is likely to be the picture in terms of our exports and forecast of forward rates, and then we'll take decision accordingly.
Currently, so 10 million is not hedged, what you're saying?
Yes, that is on receivable side.
Okay, sir. Thanks.
Thank you for your question. Participants, if you have any further questions, please press star and 1 on your push button phone. As there are no more questions, I would now like to hand over the conference to Mr. Pankaj Patel. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for joining for the conference and see you at the next quarter end. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference for today. We thank you for your participation and for using Tata.